Will you please turn to Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 8, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 11. And they shall not teach each his fellow citizen and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, because all shall know me in themselves, from the little one among them unto the great among them. And please turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. And yourselves, the unction, that is the anointing, which ye have received from him, abides in you. And ye have not need, that anyone should teach you, but as the same unction teaches you as to all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and even as he has taught you, ye shall abide in him. Dear Lord, as we continue in thy presence, we look to thee to speak to our hearts. Prepare us before thee, that we may have an open mind and an open heart. Dear Lord, we want to know thee. So will you please, by thy Spirit, illumine us. Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation to the full knowledge of God. We thank thee for thy promise. We thank thee for thy covenant thou hast made with us, and we want to stand by faith into it. To the glory of God, we ask in thy precious name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we just have the Lord's table. And every time we partake in the Lord's table, it reminds us that we are in a covenant relationship with God. It is a covenant of love. God wants to encourage us to believe in what he has promised and what he has done for us, that we may live a life that really will glorify his name. Now, last time we shared on the last article in that new covenant, which is verse 12. How God will forgive our sins. He not only will forgive, but even forget it. In other words, by the work of our Lord Jesus on the cross, how he's bore in his body all our sins, that we who believe in him receive forgiveness of our sins. And not only that, but he has also made provision for us to overcome sin in our daily life. You know, brothers and sisters, the work of our Lord on the cross are twofold. On the one hand, he took the sins that we have committed, sinful acts. And how many sinful acts we have committed? Probably we cannot remember all our sinful acts. But God knows. But thank God, when our Lord Jesus was crucified on the cross, He took all our sins in His body. And He died for us. And it is on the basis of His atoning death, of His blood shed for our sins, that all our sins have been forgotten. Not only forgiven, but forgotten. To put it another way, God will not again condemn us, judge us, because of the sins that we have committed in the past. But brothers and sisters, after we have received the cleansing from the Lord, we do discover that somehow in our daily life, we still tend to commit sins. Why is it so? Because we do not realize that there is another part of salvation that our Lord Jesus has done for us on the cross. Because He not only has borne our sins in His own body and shed His blood for the remission of our sins, but He, as the last Adam, represents each and every one of us who were born into Adam. And when He died on the cross, He took all the race of Adam with Him and died on the cross. So it is by the work of His cross that we enter into victory over sin. We have a sinful nature. And with the sinful nature in us, we cannot help but sin. But thank God, when Christ died on the cross, He took us with Him. So by the work of His cross, we are able to overcome the power of sin. Now we have shared last Lord's Day. And this morning we want to go a little further. Just as after you have entered into the outer court, then by the grace of God, you are able to enter into the holy place where the priests serve God. So, in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 11, that's what it is. It tells us that not only our sins have been forgiven, but we shall know God in ourselves. Now, brothers and sisters, this is the first sign that we are really saved. Now, suppose you fall into the water, and you are drowning, and someone jumps into the water and rescue you. What will be your reaction towards the man? If your reaction is, you forgot the one who rescues you, I don't think that is the right reaction. Of course, the right reaction will be, since He has saved me, I want to know more of Him. That is a natural reaction. And brothers and sisters, when we come to the spiritual realm, it is the same thing. If you say you are saved by the great Redeemer, and you have no idea or no desire to know Him more, and by knowing Him more is that you want to know His nature, His character, What does he like? What does he not like? You have the desire to please him as an expression of your thanks. Now that is natural. If it is not there, then it shows there is some question as whether you are really saved or not. So I believe that when you first, the first sign that you're really saved is you want to know him more. You know, when you read the Song of Songs, here you find a maiden. Somehow she was touched by the love of God. Just like the prodigal son. When he came back, you know what the father did to him? The first thing was, the father kissed his neck. Now why is it so? Because this son had a stiff neck. And here you find the love of the father kiss the neck, soften his neck. That is the first sign of God's love. And after his neck has been kissed, then what will be the next? You find in Song of Songs, it begins with the word, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. In other words, after your neck has been kissed, then you want to have a closer relationship with him. Kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. Draw me, that we may run after thee. So I think, spiritually speaking, this is a natural reaction. We want him to draw us. We want him to kiss us with the kisses of his mouth. We want to have a more intimate relationship with him. We want to know what he is and what his will is. And we want to do everything that will please him. That is the natural reaction. And spiritually speaking, this is the supernaturally natural reaction. So the first sign that we are really the Lord is that we want to know him. We want to know what he likes, what he wants, what will please him, what he does not like, and so forth. So here you find in the new covenant, God has made provision for that. Now, as a matter of fact, there are two ways of knowing God. One is the old covenant way of law. You remember when God brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt and brought them to Mount Sinai, and God gave them the Ten Commandments. God made a covenant with the children of Israel. God said, now if you keep the law, if you keep my covenant, then you will be my people. How do you know you are God's people? Because you keep God's command. That's the way to prove that you are God's people. And after you have proven yourself as the people of God, then God said, I will be your God. That is the old covenant of law. But unfortunately, we find the children of Israel, they did not keep the law of God. To rebel, violate the covenant God has made with them. Why is it so? Because the law was written on stones, not on their heart. It is cold. It is mental. It is outward. And because it is written in letter and on stones, therefore you need to be taught. How do I know the law of God unless someone will teach me, will instruct me? And that's the reason why you find in the Old Testament time, when they have the Feast of the Tabernacle, they will use this time to gather all the children of Israel to listen to the law and to be explained to them by the priests. Because otherwise they will not know. That is the only way they could get that information. So you find in the New Covenant, in Hebrews 8:11, it first said, you do not need to teach your fellow citizens and your brothers know the Lord. Why? Because it is the Old Covenant. You cannot keep it. And the word know there is ginosko. You know, in Greeks, there are two different words to tell us what the word know is. So in verse 11, the first know, you don't need to tell your brothers and your fellow citizens, know the Lord. The know there is ginosko. And it means it is knowledge in general. It is outward knowledge. It is knowledge that you acquired from outside. It is a mental knowledge. That is the meaning of it. So in the Old Covenant time, the only way to know God is to be taught. And even if you are taught, unfortunately, you cannot do it. Because it is something outside of you. You know it. But that kind of knowledge condemns instead of justifies. How can we know God's will? Well, of course, we said, read the Bible. Because the Bible will show us what God's will is. And if you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, you will find it is said, verse 16, every scripture is divinely inspired and profitable for teaching, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be complete, fully fitted to every good work. That's what the Bible is. So that's the reason why after we are saved, we usually are told we need to read the Bible. Now, if you read the Bible every day, and if you read three chapters of the Old Testament and one chapter of the New Testament a day, you will read the whole Bible once a year. And I remember when I was first saved, that was what I did. I tried to read the Bible four chapters each day. In the early morning, I will get up and go into a room, shut myself in, kneel down, open the Bible, and read it. I will read the Old Testament, three chapters a day, and after I read any chapter three times, I try to close my eyes and remember what I have read. And after that, I did my prayers. Now, this is the way that we try to know what the will of God is. Now, if a Christian never reads the Bible, how could he know God's will? We find that with young Christians, that is a common question. You always try to ask people, can I go there? Can I do this? Is it good for Christian to do that? Tell me what I should do. Well, we say, go to the Bible, and the Bible is such a thick book, and you are not familiar with it, so you are not able to find it. There is a typical example. If you have read Against the Tide, The Life of Watchman Nee, you know the story. Now, there was once a brother by the name of Yu Xinliang. I know him personally. He was an electrician. He was the only electrician on Mount Kulin in Jiangxi. That's a beautiful resort place. But he was almost illiterate, and his wife was totally illiterate. One year, when Brother Nee went to Kulin Mountain to rest because he was sick, and he had his food with his family. And by the grace of God, he led them to the Lord. But when the winter, when the summer was over, people all went down to the plain. But this family lived on the mountain. And Brother Yu had a habit of drinking wine. And in China, you know, when it was winter, when it was cold, usually the Chinese would drink the wine warmed. So when they were going to have their supper, now the wife warmed up the wine, and before they had their supper, Brother Yu said, well, now we are Christians, we should first pray. So he started to pray. And while he started to pray, suddenly he stopped. And he asked his wife, now we are Christians, can we drink? So he told his wife, go and get the book. What Brother Nee gave him the Bible. So his wife went and got the book. But the book was so thick. And they couldn't find anywhere in the Bible about drinking. Unfortunately, he didn't find that verse when Paul said to Timothy, you are weak in your stomach, drink a little wine. So he couldn't find it. So the wife, being practical, he said, let's ask Mr. Nee when he came next year. But today, wine is already warmed. Let's eat it first. So the husband thought it was very rational, reasonable. So he prayed again. But he stopped again. He said, can Christian drink? And the third time, he couldn't continue to pray. So finally, he told his wife, took the wine away. We will ask Mr. Nee next year when he came back to the mountain. And sure enough, next year when our brother went to that mountain, he raised this question with him. Can a Christian drink? So Brother Nee asked him, now why do you ask this question? Well, he told him the story. And Brother Nee said, why didn't you drink? He said, somehow my resident boss wouldn't allow me. Now, he even didn't know the name of the Holy Spirit. What he said, resident boss, is really the indwelled Holy Spirit. Because, you know, every Christian has the indwelled Holy Spirit of God. But he didn't know the term. He said, I have a resident boss there, and he wouldn't allow me to drink. Why is it so? Because this brother, before he was saved, he liked to drink. And whenever he drank, he would be drunk. And here he finds the new covenant way of knowing God. Brothers and sisters, you know it is the habit of young people, I mean young Christians, because we always try to take the convenient, easy way. If you come to a point when you don't know whether it is God's will or not, the easiest thing is, instead of going to the Bible and search for it, well, you'd go to a Christian that has been a Christian longer than you are and ask he or she whether you can do it or not. And sure enough, there are many teachers. Every Christian wants to be a teacher. And out of your goodwill, when people ask you a question, or you said, this is something you shouldn't do, or this is something that you can do, and your problem is solved. Isn't that an easy way to know the mind of God? But do you know, when you are doing that, there is no contact in you between you and God. Because your knowledge of God comes from outside. So even though you may do the right thing, it is only an outward act. There is no inward conviction and be delivered from your sin. So the way to help young brothers and sisters is, whenever a young brother or sister come and said, can I do this? Can I do there? Can I go there? Instead of telling him or her, this you can or this you cannot, you should help him or her to pray. Seek God. And as you seek God with a real, sincere heart, he will reveal it to you. And when he reveals it to you, it's different. Because there is a contact, a communication between you and God. And that is the way that your spiritual life will grow. So in the new covenant way of knowing God, he said, you don't need anyone to teach you. Know the Lord. Why? Because every one of you, from the least of you to the greatest of you, that is to say, as soon as you are born again, even though you are just a babe in Christ, but thank God, he has already given you an inward way of knowing him. And you will know him in yourself. Now, what does it mean? This is the second word, know. But the know is oida in Greek. It means conscious knowledge in yourself. It means intuitive knowledge. It means inward knowledge. It means direct knowledge from above. So, brothers and sisters, we as believers, we need to learn how to know the Lord inwardly. Christian life is not an outward life. It is an inward life. Unfortunately, in Christianity today, Christians are led away from that inward way of life and into the outward way of living. When we believe in the Lord Jesus, we are being told this and that. They will tell us as a Christian, what should you do? Well, you should read the Bible. You should pray every day. You should go to church. You should witness to people. So you are told all the things that you should do. And you're also told all the things that you shouldn't do. Now, if you do not do this, then you are a great Christian. Now, when I was a young Christian, because of my background, I never dared to go to a theater on Sunday. But the other days, I feel free to do that. All my life, I mean, after I was saved, as much as I can remember, only I violated once. Brothers and sisters, God has a new covenant with us. It is a new covenant of knowing Him. What does it mean? It means that after we are saved, not only our sins are forgiven, but He has given us a new spirit. Our spirit is the organ that can contact God the Spirit. You cannot contact God by your body. You cannot contact God by your mind. You can only contact God by your spirit. So I remember many years ago when the Russians sent their astronaut go to the space. He came back and told the world that there is no God because he has looked around in that outer space, and he couldn't see God anywhere. He thought he was very wise, but he made a very foolish statement. Because how can you connect God with your naked eyes? He is spirit. You cannot see spirit by your naked eye. And then you find many people outwardly seems to be very pious. They think by doing that, they can contact God. I remember once I was in the Philippines. I went to Takata. And there I saw a cathedral. So I went in to have a look. And I saw a few white figures kneeling at the altar. I thought they were statues, because they were not moving at all. But when I went closer, I saw these were nuns. They were kneeling there without moving, just like statues there. My first reaction was, my, how pious they are. But my second reaction was, is it real? You cannot contact God with your body. Just like you cannot contact God by kneeling, by standing up. No. You can only contact God by your spirit. This is the only organ to contact God. But man, spirit, was dead in sins and transgressions. But when we are saved, our spirit is being renewed. God gave us a new spirit so we can contact God. The first sign that we are saved was when we pray, we say, Abba, Father. And you really sense a closeness with God. That is, your spirit comes alive. And not only that, but God put the Holy Spirit into our spirit. Indeed, we have the life of Christ in our spirit, but for the life of Christ to really grow, it needs the Holy Spirit to make it grow. So, every believer, in your spirit, human spirit, God's spirit dwells in you. And why does he dwell in you? You remember our Lord Jesus says to his disciples before he was leaving? He said, I'm leaving, but another comforter will come to you. And he will be with you. He will be in you. He will never leave you, nor forsake you. When our Lord was on earth, he was with his disciples 3 years, day and night. But he was still outside of them. But now after he has ascended to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to them. And the Holy Spirit will dwell in them. And he will never leave us nor forsake us. We may grieve him. We may offend him. We may not listen to him, disobey him. But whatever we do to him, he suffers. He will remain with us, never leave us nor forsake us. Why? Because he has a mission. He is there to teach us Christ. So that's the reason why you find in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, yourselves, having the unction, the anointing within you. Why does he use the word anointing, a verbal noun? Because it is working. He is the ointment. And that ointment is working in your spirit. So he is the anointing. And every believer has the anointing within him or within her. Why is he there? He is there to teach you how to know God. He's there to teach you how to do the will of God, how to know the will of God, and to bring Christ into your life fuller and fuller. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, brothers and sisters, do not take it as a teaching. Take it as a reality. And in your experience, I believe you have already experienced something. After you are saved, you become a Christian. And you have the desire to do God's will, to please Him. But you do not know. But even so, you find the Holy Spirit within you is working in you. Probably in the past, you like to talk. And when you are talking, you like to exaggerate. Now some people take exaggeration with pride. But we all know that exaggeration is sin, because it is not true. You know? But strangely, after you are saved, when you are talking with people and you begin to exaggerate, somehow within you, you hear a still small voice. That is enough. Now, have you had that experience? Just like Elijah. You know, after in 1 Kings chapter 19, you know, after he had big victory over the enemy, he was threatened for his life, and he fled. And you remember how he fled to Mount Sinai, to the very same hole, I think, as God appeared to Moses. And there, God came to him. First you have a storm sweeping over that mountain, but God was not there. Then there was an earthquake. God was not there. Then there was a fire. God was not there. And after that, a still small voice. God spoke to him. Why are you here? Brothers and sisters, you must have this experience. But are you listening to that still small voice? You feel there is something anoint over you, is smoothing, but there is a sensation within your spirit. And what is your reaction to it? Do you ignore it? If you ignore it, you find you cannot pray. You have to confess your sin and willing to obey the Lord. Then your prayer seems to be accepted by God. Now that is just one small illustration. And so on and so forth. And as a matter of fact, it's throughout our life. That's the inner way of knowing God. You know, the way the Holy Spirit is working is marvelous. He never comes to us as a storm, as an earthquake, as a fire. He always comes to us as a still small voice. That is the difference between the working of the Holy Spirit and the working of our accuser. You know, we have an accuser. Satan is an accuser. And he will accuse us of many things. Some are true, but many are false. And if we listen to him, we are finished. Because when he comes, it's like a storm. It is like a fire. It is like an earthquake. But this is not the way the Holy Spirit works. He always comes as a still small voice, as anointed upon us. It is strong, patient, but not overpowering. Because it waits us to cooperate, to obey. And if we obey in small things, then he will teach us bigger things. The Holy Spirit says, we will teach us in all things. Now all things include big and small. You know, our habit is, when we are faced with a big issue, then we go to pray. We think that it is something we have to ask the Lord about it. But as to small things, we feel that we are well able to take care of it. So we don't even pray about it and just do it according to what we think is right. But the Holy Spirit will teach us in all things. He is living in each and every one of us. And the more you learn to listen and to obey, the more you will know the reality of the Holy Spirit in you. Usually in the beginning, as the experience goes, he will first teach you in some outward things. Maybe your speech, maybe the place you visit, or maybe your association. So he will teach you in certain things like that. Or maybe even your closing. Or maybe even your early uprising. You know, because how we love our bed. I remember Miss Groves said, she is greatly used by God. And she said, our battle is between the bed and ourselves. And it is very true. And usually it's a habit. We all have our old habits. And some habits has to be shared. We cannot continue with these old habits. And the Holy Spirit will deal with our habits. And from something outward, he will go into something more inward. He will deal with your mind, with your thinking. He will deal with your love, your heart. Whether you really love the Lord more than anything else. So you'll find throughout our life, he is trying to deliver you from yourself and fill you with Christ. That's the way of knowing the will of God. So, brothers and sisters, remember this. The New Testament way of knowing God is inward, not outward. Of course, when you have something inward, then it will be manifested outward. But it is not just something outward you put on, without anything inward. Now that's imitation. That's not real. Now just to illustrate it, you know, before I was saved, I had a habit. It is the habit of going to theater, to movie. I was a pastor's son. And yet I love movie. When the newspaper came, the first page is the movie page. Saturday I usually was in theaters. I have the privilege of going to one theater without paying because my friend's family owned it. I dare not went to movie to theater on Sunday because I was told Sunday is a sacred day. I did not even study. You know, all through my studying in high school and in college, I never studied on Sunday. Even Monday is an examination day. I couldn't do that because I was bound by law. I thought it was the day of rest. But what did I do when I rest? I play ball. But I dare not study. Now that's law, you know. And the same thing with me, with movie. But after I was saved, nobody told me not to go to theater. Somehow, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me. But I argued with him. I said, what's wrong with that? Okay, I promise I will only see religious movie from now on. That should be all right. But my conscience still was not silent. So finally I told the Lord, okay, I will try not to go to theater. And by my willpower, I was able to do it for a few months. Then the temptation came. A religious movie came to Shanghai. And then I was given ticket. So I struggled again. I said, now, what should I do? I want to go and see it. It's a religious movie. What's wrong with that? So I went. But brothers and sisters, I could never forget. For 2 hours, I was sitting there, looking at the movie, but fighting within myself. I was hoping the movie would be over so I could go out, but I didn't go out. I was still sitting there, looking at it. And this religious movie was a very wicked movie. When the movie was over, I went out, and that's the end of it. The Lord took it away. Later on, my aunt told me, you are a young man. Get some pleasure. Go to see movie. I'll give you the money. She didn't know in my heart, I said, I have got something better. The temptation was gone. Brothers and sisters, this is just an illustration. But throughout my life, this has been going on day by day. I was not totally out of it yet. I'm still learning. But this is the inward way of knowing the Lord. Then, brothers and sisters, you will ask the question, if this is the case, let's throw all the teachers out. What am I doing here this morning? Throw me out. No need of me. But in the Bible, in the New Testament, you have seen God has given to the church teachers, prophets. Why? Is there a contradiction? On the one hand, God has given us the Holy Spirit to teach us in all things. But on the other hand, He still gave us teachers. No contradiction. But let us remember one thing. God loves us so much. Our soul means so much to Him. He will not commit any one of us into any man's hand. no matter how great that man is. Because our soul is more precious than anything. So the only one he could commit our soul to is the Holy Spirit. Think of that. The Holy Spirit, the anointing within us, is the only one who can really bring us to Christ. Because he never speaks of himself. He will take that of Christ and teach us. So remember, no one of us is in the hand of anybody else. We are in the hand of God himself. That's how much he loves us. But because we are young, we may misunderstand, mistake God's leading. Our feeling is independent, it's undependable. We may sense it. This is God's will. But it may not be correct because we are easily influenced by ourselves, by our own reasoning. So, remember one thing. God has committed each and every one of us only to the Holy Spirit. But because of our weaknesses, he has raised up teachers and prophets not to govern our lives, but to correct and to confirm. That is the work of the teachers. They are not to direct your life. They are there to correct you because we may be mistaken. We think it is the Holy Spirit, but it is ourselves. We do not know it. And as teachers, they will be used by God to correct us if we are mistaken. And also, they are there to confirm us. We may do something, but we are not sure whether this is really of God or not. Then those teachers will help us to confirm it, so that our faith may be strengthened. Now that is the work of teachers. So we still need teachers. But we need to have the right understanding. So dear brothers and sisters, thank God. After we are saved, he has not only forgiven our sins and even forget them. We do not need to recall them as if we are saved by our own confession. No. And the same way with the way of knowing God, knowing his mind, his will. It is the Holy Spirit within each and every one of us that will guide and lead us. But we need to be humble enough not to think that we are always right, led by the Holy Spirit. We must be humble enough to be taught whether we are right or whether we have gone astray. And this is the way that we help one another to grow in the mind of God. So may the Lord lead us in this new covenant way of knowing the Lord. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we want to thank Thee for Thy love. Thou hast not only made provision for us to overcome our sin, forgive our sinful acts, but Thou hast also made a way for us to know Thee in an inward, intuitive, real way. So, Lord, do pray that we may learn to have a real relationship with Yourself, not depending upon outside, but depending upon Thee, and yet not to the extent of cutting off fellowship, and be humble enough to be corrected or to be confirmed. We ask in Thy precious name.